Different kinds of speech and propaganda have helped lead to horrible events in world history, including assassinations and genocide. Tonight at 7 at the Burton Barr Library in Phoenix, Michael Abramowitz of the U.S. Holocaust Memorial Museum will be presenting Do Words Kill? Michael, what's the difference between hate speech and dangerous speech?
The world right now is really awash in hate speech. And if you look at the kind of rhetoric that is coming from not just ordinary people, journalists, political leaders, you know, in countries as diverse as Burma, the Ukraine, Iran, certain countries in Africa, you see a proliferation of hate speech. You also see hate speech in the United States. If you look at, you know, at our internet, some of the derogatory things that are said by, you know, against gay people or, you know, African Americans. In some ways, I guess, you know, one could look at what Donald Sterling was quoted as saying the other day as a version of hate speech. But I think the issue that concerns our museum in particular is what we might call dangerous speech, which is really when hate speech crosses a line and has the potential to catalyze really violence. I think that's the kind of speech that we're most concerned on at the United States Holocaust Memorial Museum. And I think you have to look at a lot of issues. You have to look at context in particular. You know, is the audience, is the people that are being the recipient of this kind of hate speech, are they in a position to do something about it? If you or I were to go out into the middle of the street tomorrow and call on everyone to kill, you know, Native Americans, we would be thought of as crazy. It would be hateful speech, but we don't really expect anyone to act on that. But there's certain countries, you know, Burma today, where influential people have, you know, called on citizens to take action against Muslims. You know, and in fact, there have been massacres against Muslims in parts of Burma in recent years. So that, people have had the capacity to act on it. That's the kind of speech that we really want to be concerned about.
The work that the museum is trying to do all across the world, how much more challenging does it become in this age of high tech and social media?
Well, it's a huge issue. So just by way of background, our museum is obviously what we call a living memorial to the victims of the Holocaust. But one of the most important ways that we try to honor the victims of the Holocaust is to do what we can to try to prevent these crimes from happening in the future against other people. So what we try to do at the museum is to raise awareness of those cases where we believe genocide is either threatened or actually genocide is actually happening. One of the things about genocide is that it is about the intentional destruction of racial religious groups. And so intent is key, and sometimes you don't know about genocide until it's actually happened. So our point is that we want people to act, our message is we want people to act preventively, to act when there are warning signs of genocide or warning signs of mass killing. And sadly, one of the key warning signs in history is when there has been really hateful speech that's been directed against groups. So you look at the Holocaust, for instance, and in the run-up to the Final Solution, Hitler and Goebbels and the other members of the Nazi apparatus spent a huge amount of time trying to condition the German people through propaganda to really think of Jews as less than human.
How much of this rests on the fact that that we as human beings, why are people susceptible to propaganda or dangerous speech? Why is there not more shouting down of these people and saying these ideas are absurd and you're killing my neighbor, you're killing my friend or my family?
You know, that's a great question. I wish I had a definitive answer to it. But the reality is that hatred of the other is something that has sadly been something that has been with us for a long time, you know, long preceded the Holocaust. And I suppose one thing, it's a way for political leaders to gain power, to, you know, to really play on people's fears about others. So the point that I would make is that we're all susceptible to this. I think what's really important is education. That's really one of the central missions of our museum, to educate people. And I think, you know, one of the issues is, what do you do about hate speech? Some people say that we ought to, you know, censor hate speech. You know, in America, we have the First Amendment, which really makes it constitutional prohibition on in favor of free speech. But I do think there are other ways. And if you can step up and denounce hate speech, so-called counter speech. There are different tools that you can use to really educate the people against hate speech.
Can you change people who are adults? In this case, can you teach an old dog new tricks as far as not hating others?
You know, it's never too early to try, and it's never too late to try. You know, one thing that I found interesting, it didn't get a lot of attention in the United States, but in 2007 in Kenya, there were elections, and the elections were essentially polarized along ethnic and tribal lines, and you had political leaders in Kenya kind of taking advantage of these fault lines to try to foment divisions and catalyze support for their own positions electorally. After the elections in Kenya, there were hundreds of people who died in ethnic violence. I think maybe more than 1,000. Kenya had another election in 2012, and there was recognition that the 2007 elections had not gone well. And so there was a great deal of focus, first of all, in Kenyan society, on making sure that the elections were held peacefully, to make sure that people were aware that they should be on guard against hate speech and not to be susceptible to it. The international community, the United States, but also neighboring African countries, really tried to focus attention. The newspapers carried a lot of information calling on people to be tolerant and peaceful and to respect differences. And lo and behold, it was a relatively peaceful election. Not perfect. There were problems there. But it did say to me that there is hope by putting attention on this, that you can inoculate, so to speak, your audiences against hate speech.
Michael Abramowitz of the U.S. Holocaust Memorial Museum. He'll be in Phoenix tonight at 7 at the Burton Barr Library. The presentation is called Do Words Kill?